right. Okay, we've made a slight tweak in the schedule. We've put the panel after lunch, so we're just going to crack on with the talks instead, starting with the lead developer of the officially second most popular wallet here at Bliss, which I'm personally, you know, quite proud of. It's really a project that we've only been doing for the last 2.5 years, and most of the heavy lifting is done by Callisti representing the United States to talk about weapons of mass adoption.
All right. Hey guys, nice to see you all. Familiar faces, some unfamiliar faces. Really happy to be here at Bliss. All right, weapons of mass adoption. You know, as the lead developer of Selene Wallet, this is something we're really passionate about. We really want to make BCH the best cryptocurrency that we possibly can. We want to have products that just make sense for people, that are easy to use. You know, with Selene in particular, I like to call it the mom test. If my mom can't use it, if I can't explain it to her, if it's confusing, it's just not going to be good. So with that, I want to highlight where I feel like we are as an ecosystem, just kind of what direction I feel like we should go and things to keep in mind as we keep growing. So I'm going to start with some philosophy. My personal philosophy is that every single thing in the world starts with belief. So you have to believe in what you're doing. You have to believe that you're going to have success. And in our case, BCHers, we believe very strongly in the idea of the peer-to-peer electronic cash. We want this to be accessible to the entire world, and like I said, we want it to be easy for everyone. For me, it's liberty or death, right? I'm really all in on this. There's nothing in the world I'd rather be doing. And, you know, there's a lot of threats out there, and we're going to talk about some of those threats, but... I feel as time goes on, you can really kind of feel the clamps kind of coming down. Things are getting harder for us, and in a way, it's a race against the clock. So with that, we can talk about maximalism for just a second. We all know BTC maximalism kind of has this toxic resonance to it. It's very like Bitcoin or nothing, except we all know that it doesn't really work all that great. That's why we're here in BCH. That's why the whole block size war happened. In contrast, BCH maximalism, we really try to have that air of positivity. We really try to acknowledge, yes, competitors exist. We want to learn from them. But at the same time, BCH is kind of the only cryptocurrency that, in a way, does it all. It's the one that, when you look at the entire market, it just makes the most sense. We have some of the most powerful scripting, very much rivals Ethereum. We are one of the only coins who are actually dedicated to the peer-to-peer electronic cash idea. And so when we're talking about maximalism, really the idea is that we need everybody in the ecosystem to not exactly be all in, but to be very focused on what we're doing, because the other options out there just don't make as much sense, right? So we want to build all of these really compelling products and these really compelling use cases specifically for BCH, because otherwise we get rug pulled. And we're going to talk about that here. First, are we succeeding in the mission? I would say yes and no. I think anybody who is objectively looking at these kind of metrics, like, for instance, what's up with that 6 kilobyte block? Barely, right? If you look at the overall size of the blockchain, we're barely filling 100 kilobyte blocks. If you look at the transaction rate of all time, that's from 2009 at block zero to just last night, that's our transaction rate. Nobody's using Bcash, guys, sorry to say. However, if we look at our Selene stats, we can see that there's some growth there. We are seeing a nice average 800 users. That's monthly. So we're really excited about that. We are seeing that continuous growth. And then also, if we look at the TVL on our DeFi products, we definitely see some growth there too. It is kind of balancing out here toward the bottom, but it's pretty stable, I would say. So we can absolutely see that there is that growth, that I think if we keep pushing in the direction that we're going, we're going to keep seeing that line go up. So lots and lots of players here in BCH, a lot of really passionate people. These aren't products, these are people or people behind the products also. So maybe some of you might see yourselves up there, and I think we're all really are doing a good job despite the metrics. I think we can say that we are succeeding in terms of community cohesion. We're all very aligned. We're all really focused on making this mission possible. We keep building new things, and they keep getting better. So I think with that, it is only a matter of time that we do start pumping up those numbers and getting more adoption, more interest. So if we have all of these great products and all of these great players, how come we're still dead? So I think one major problem is that crypto in general, there is just really that kind of stigma. People are still skeptical about it. People still don't really understand it all that well. A lot of people still associate crypto with like fraud and scams. Everybody, like my mom, for instance, when she thinks of crypto, she still thinks about FTX, right? So that's kind of where the public perception is still. We do, as shown by the graphs earlier, do have a lack of a network effect. And that's a bit of a circular issue because if somebody looks at our stats and says, oh, well, Bcash is dead, why would they want to join? Right, so it's in a way a chicken and egg problem. Fiat money is also already solving people's problems. Like, for instance, I have to pay my rent in dollars. I would love if I could pay my rent in BCH, but I just simply can't. So you have to sell. I can't buy my groceries in BCH. Have to sell. Right, so we need to find ways to not just get the merchant adoption, but just find as many reasons as possible to prevent people from leaving the ecosystem, or not prevent, but encourage people to not have to leave. And then finally, despite BCH's great utility, as shown by the top 10 coins, people really just care about number go up way more than utility. So if we look at the dominant coin, BTC, of course. That's what they're in it for, right? Nobody's going to deny that at this point. So, how can we fix these problems? First off, just talking about that whole rug pull thing, we have to stand the test of time. We need products that and companies and players that are going to be in it for the long haul. We can't have fair weather players, right? And this is why I'm talking about BCH maximalism. This is what I mean. We need people who are committed and dedicated to BCH specifically, because otherwise the floor falls out from under us. So then second, we need to really have these products be as compelling as possible to users, user-friendly, useful, aesthetically pleasing, and also not so like convoluted and complicated that just people don't understand it. Again, the mom test is really something we should be keeping in mind when we're trying to explain these things to people. What's the simplest way that you can explain? So I want to show a couple of examples of why BCH maximalism is important. So prime example here, Bitcoin.com historically has been a really, really major player in BCH, and I would never actually throw any shade at them or anything. They really have done amazing work overall. However, they have pivoted away from BCH into more of a multi-coin enterprise. And so we can really see the impact of that because let's rewind a couple years back to 2022. There was a lot of merchant adoption happening in, say, like St. Kitts. And at that time, when we were really focused on this adoption, Bitcoin.com was the number one wallet that we would recommend for that. It was very simple, quick to use. It has supported zero conf. It was very pretty, right? So it was just stable. It was good, and that's what we recommended. However, now they've got like the Verse token and all the other multi-coin stuff. It gives you pop-ups. The performance is degraded over time. So it's just not as good anymore. And so, like I was saying, with that whole maximalism thing, like we got rug pulled by Bitcoin.com. This really reinforces our DIY mentality. So enter Selene Wallet. The whole idea there was Jeremy and I recognized this issue with Bitcoin.com and with the adoption, and we saw the direction that that was going, and we wanted to get ahead of it. So we wanted to build a wallet that was, again, the mom test, so simple to use that I could explain it to my mom. We wanted you to be able to go from zero to BCH user as quickly as possible. And so I think that we did a good job of accomplishing that, because as soon as you download the app, oh, just a little 10 megabytes off the app store, downloads in seconds, your QR code is right there when you open up the app. You don't have to go through all of these prompts that other wallets ask you for, like verifying your key and everything. Because if I'm explaining BCH to somebody for the first time, they're going to get really confused as soon as I try to explain what a seed phrase is when they haven't even received any money yet. Why do you care about backing up a seed phrase for a wallet that has zero balance? You don't. So with that, again, talking about the whole longevity thing, we are very, very committed to being open source, using the decentralized technologies that are available. We're based on the Electrum Cash protocol, using Fulcrum as a backend, developed by Callan. Shout out to you, man. Yeah. Callan is amazing. So are you still looking for the Fulcrum 2.0 stuff? Did you get that? Awesome. So definitely check that out. He's doing amazing work for the entire ecosystem. Self-custody, also extremely important. So there's a difference between using like Fulcrum as a backend and having like a centralized API, like some of our competitors. If the server goes down, you can't use the wallet, kind of not great. So even though we're still relatively new, we are definitely getting better over time, and hopefully we can become the best wallet in BCH. So then enter Baitaka as well. They're doing phenomenal work. I would love if we can see some of the Baitaka guys show up to Bliss next year, maybe. I would love to meet some of them in person. They are definitely the leader in real-world merchant adoption right now. They have the fantastic Paytaka map and POS system that are nicely integrated, so they're kind of tackling the whole map problem where the data will go out of date and the merchant doesn't accept BCH anymore. The POS system will automatically update that map, so I think that that is a really killer feature, and that's the direction we should be moving. They are one of the most feature-rich wallets in the entire ecosystem, so almost anything that you could do on BCH, you can do in Paytaka, and it shows because, as Jeremy was mentioning earlier, they were the most popular wallet for signing in to Bliss with the Wallet Connect check-in. So kudos to them for that. And then also Paytaka is providing some of the really critical cash tokens infrastructure with their BCMR indexer that literally every BCH wallet right now that supports cash tokens is using. And then I think a really important point on their merchant adoption is that they have the staffing and support that they can give specialized and dedicated attention to every merchant that they onboard. And I think that's really important for keeping the retention and keeping the engagement. All right, so general protocols also doing phenomenal work in our ecosystem. I think this is another really good example of why BCH maximalism works. They are a bunch of Bitcoin OGs that met up, formed a company in 2019. They are, I'm pretty sure, the most profitable BCH company that exists right now. They're the ones responsible for the BCH Bull product. They're working on the XO stack, and I think that's all really exciting stuff that's coming down the pipeline for them. They also have they're really major supporting players because, let's say, the Electrum Cash library, a lot of other BCH products are using to connect to the Fulcrum servers. We use it for Selene. I'm pretty sure Cash and Ice uses it. I'm pretty sure TapSwap and Cauldron use it. So really, really important infrastructure. And then the XO stack as well is going to be a new level in smart contract development and smart contract-based wallets. So I love that they're pioneering the new tech. And again, BCH maximalism is what allows us to do that, because if we were focused on everything else, we're not going to have those specialized and dedicated tools. So finally, another example of why maximalism is important. So BCH Bliss, we have like basically a lot of our core community is here in this room right now. And it was hosted here in Ljubljana because there was widespread crypto adoption. And unfortunately, we got rug pulled by Go Crypto, as noted by Fiendish in yesterday's first talk. So unfortunately, we can't pay for our hotel and our drinks and everything in BCH today. And it's a little disappointing, but also just goes to show we need BCH-focused products, BCH-focused players, and we have to do it ourselves. Otherwise, because we're the only ones we can rely on, right? So I think it's really important that we do try to keep organic growth that is focused on BCH. All right, so the hard part is building products that are actually good. These are three really great products that we already have: BCH Bull from General Protocols, Cauldron Dex from Riften Labs, and Aphitha Gaming from Aphitha Gaming, David Shattuck. These are three of my favorites, personally. What makes a BCH product great? It has to be not just cool, but useful, right? So there are some things that we've developed in the past that are cool, but haven't really necessarily gained traction, like, say, like Memocache. Sounds good in theory, in practice hasn't really shaken out to be something that really got a whole lot of adoption. I think a good product is something that solves problems that users are actually having. So any entrepreneur, even outside of crypto, you want to look at product market fit. What are you actually solving? Who are you solving it for? It's something that we need to stay thinking about. Again, as I've been kind of going on, this point of user experience needs to be compelling, easy, simple. You need to be able to stay alive. So we need to have a viable business model, some kind of funding model, or at least very low overhead that you can keep putting your infrastructure out of pocket or use leverage existing infrastructure, anything like that. It's just the lower overhead, the better. The more money you make, the better, obviously. And then finally, in terms of BCH maximalism, we want these products to help users enter the BCH ecosystem as quickly and as effectively as possible. We want them to stay in the BCH ecosystem to the extent that is possible. Now, when we're building these products, some of you might be familiar with the old meme, it's just money, bro. At this point, BCH is more than just money, bro. Cash tokens really does unlock a whole lot of power for what we can do. This is, in Matthew's terms, cash tokens is the BCH comeback. I fully agree with that sentiment. The script engine upgrade that we're getting tomorrow is going to be yet another level of just sheer power that we get out of the script virtual machine. There's a whole lot of things that we're really excited to be able to do using these new limits, such as the upgraded Moira contract that will be available tomorrow. We want to be able to do things like on-chain encryption for better privacy. We want to be able to prototype quantum-resistant addresses and all of these kind of things. These are all going to be things that are possible thanks to the upgraded VM limits that we'll be deploying tomorrow. BCH is a tool that allows total digital sovereignty, so it's not just your money, but it's all of your digital assets. It could even be your digital identity. And in particular, I'm really interested in digital identity because of the looming CBDC threat and these kind of digital like passport ideas that have been kind of proliferating since the COVID era. It's scary. It's really scary. We want to be able to implement these things in a way that aligns with our decentralized ethos. You don't want the government to just be able to freeze your funds. You don't want them to be able to track you everywhere you go. I like being able to go online and have as many identities as I want. I'm not just Callisti.cash. I'm a bunch of other people online too, and you might not ever find out that that's me. And so that can be real-world assets also. NFTs can represent just about anything, a car, a house, a deal between two parties. So I think that there's a lot of potential there that we should really be focusing on to develop these products that will drive us forward. So in terms of potential, these are just a couple of ideas that I thought of for potential markets that we can address with BCH. So gaming and esports, I think, is really a no-brainer. This is what Aphitha Gaming is doing. Even before David created that, I wanted to be able to do on-chain tournaments. I was a competitive Super Smash Bros. Player for like 6 years or so. So I, in that community, we have what's called the money match. Take out a dollar, put it on the table. Come at me, bro. Whoever wins gets the money, right? You have a whole tournament, right? There's a payout. You could have NFT trophies, all of these kind of things. You could, if you won first place in some tournament, maybe you get invited to an invitational where Unique can only enter if you have a certain NFT. This doesn't even have to be limited to one game. If I win a Smash Bros. Match and I got first place, and then I'm invited to like a Dragon Ball FighterZ tournament afterward. Like, this is a stupid example, right? But it's just we can do things like that. It's cool. Social media. I think decentralized social media is something that people are starting to think about a little more now. In particular, especially in like the arts communities, I've noticed platforms like Facebook or TikTok, even like Reddit, are prone to censorship, are prone to just like you get banned. I've gotten banned off of Facebook so many times. Like, look, guys, I've never gotten banned off of anything in my life. And then back in like 2021, I got banned off of Facebook like 3 times. I don't even know why. It's very silly. So I think there's a lot of potential there. It's not necessarily directly a BCH thing, but using other decentralized technologies around it. And maybe I'll talk more about that later. Advertising, I think, also makes a lot of sense. We can do like a whole microtransaction economy based on BCH. A lot of, especially like these social media platforms, what they do is they'll harvest your data, they'll harvest your attention. You get paid back in monetization based on like how much ad space you can get eyes on through your content and engagement. I guess I'll talk about this in terms of social media for a second. So I think that there's an idea that exists where we can have a decentralized social media platform where I can get directly monetized for my content using BCH because of how it enables microtransactions. I think that in the future, we'll have a whole microtransaction-based economy because real work is just getting harder to come by, right? AI is coming for everyone's jobs. Blue-collar work, I think, is where the real economy is right now, and even that's starting to get automated more and more. So how are people going to make a living? I do think that social media is a big factor there, because if I can just make a bunch of money from posting funny memes, like, why wouldn't I do that, right? I think there are going to be a lot of people who are in that kind of position where they're not, we'll kind of have like multiple income streams, and I think BCH really facilitates that really well. Events and entertainment. So Fiendish and I yesterday during the little pitch contest, we both talked about a ticketing kind of system. There's a lot of potential there. You can have NFT-based event tickets that can also lead into like revenue splitting and profit sharing and all these kind of things. You can do dividends with NFTs. So when we're talking about licensing, content distribution, that ties into that as well. Royalties can be paid out to an NFT, or you can transfer a license that enforces royalties to be paid out a certain way, all these kind of things. I think another really great use case, take notes, guys, because I can't build all this myself. So I mean, we need some entrepreneurs. Logistics and supply chain, I think, is also ripe for disruption using cash tokens and smart contracts, because a smart contract is simply a promise to fulfill some obligation. And if you have the example I like to give is, let's say I want to buy a printer from Office Max or something. So let's say HP needs to manufacture that printer. HP needs to ship it to Office Max somehow. There's going to be a shipping company, like let's say FedEx or something. We can tokenize those contractual obligations in such a way that if there's some kind of failure to deliver, there might have been some kind of stake that can get slashed. The user would put their funds up. They get an automatic refund, all of these kind of things, all the way on each step of the supply chain. So I think that there's some ideas there that we can cook on. I touched on digital identity just a little bit. Your address is effectively an identity, and on top of that, NFTs can also represent an identity. And then finally, the use case we're already familiar with DeFi, can be expanded even further by trying to emulate traditional banking products, savings accounts, derivative assets, loans, all of these kind of things. All right, so in my mind, distribution and marketing is a major key. Whoops, did I just... Because... we got to get BCH into people's hands. So let's go back to that event ticket idea that I just had. If I'm hosting an event and I'm selling my tickets with NFTs, I still have the problem that none of the people that I'm trying to sell those tickets to have BCH. So how are they going to do it? So we have other tools we can use, like, say, cash stamps. Okay, so my clientele can still pay for the ticket in fiat, but then I can put the ticket on a cash stamp. And that cash stamp can also have a little bit of BCH. So we're kind of sneakily buying that BCH on their behalf using the fiat and then giving it back to them. Now they're part of the BCH ecosystem. If they're using a wallet like Celine, which will continue to grow, you go into the Explore tab and learn everything about BCH. Find other BCH products. Click on the link for the ecosystem that goes to Mini Satoshi's amazing page that lists out everything that's in BCH and find out all sorts of new things that you can do with it. We want to reduce that friction to get into the ecosystem as much as possible. And so again, cash stamps is a great tool for this. Just good old peer-to-peer, like, hey, I'm doing this thing. I think it's interesting. Find interest there. We also want to reduce the need to have to exit back into fiat. So like I was saying earlier, the more that I can handle my usual expenses in BCH through various means, say it's directly or through gift cards as a proxy or anything like that, the less that I have to actually exit the ecosystem, the better. And money is only as good as what can be exchanged for. So even with cash tokens, you just have some random fungible token. It doesn't just have to be some useless coin with no utility. There's a lot of incentives that you can build for your own businesses. We can do things like loyalty tokens and coupons and like all these kind of things where I make a purchase and you get some tokens back and then I can redeem those tokens for various prizes, right? I mean, even Chuck E. Cheese tokens have value because I can go and exchange them for a PS4 if I have enough of them. And then finally, marketing, right, guys? Because people actually just simply don't know about BCH. Even people who are in crypto don't necessarily know what we've been working on for the past few years. I encounter this on Twitter very often that I start talking about all the awesome stuff that we're doing and people are like, yeah, I forgot that BCH even existed. So I think that we should be doing everything that we can to be as visible as possible and as informative as possible. So I wanted to do a little bit of a SWOT analysis here, kind of giving my perspective on where I think our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats are. So first off, strengths. We are definitely committed to the whole P2P cash idea. Like I said at the beginning of the talk, for me, it's liberty or death. So if we stay committed, I think that we're going to keep seeing the momentum build. We have layer one scalability without compromising on decentralization, contrary to popular belief. People think that blockchains don't scale, but we're proving that wrong. We have a robust, insane script virtual machine and native tokens. So as I've been saying, these smart contract capabilities that we have, and especially with the upgrade coming tomorrow, we are effectively unlocking like an entire range of computational power. Almost any computation that we can think of, we will be able to do on chain at this point. And with the 2026 upgrades, it'll get even better because we can do that using less byte space. We are extremely engaged and aligned as a community. This conference, for example, is a really great example of that. Like I said, most of our core players are here, and it's been very inspiring to see all of these very passionate people in the same room who are very aligned on the same ideas, and we need to continue in that direction. Finally, we have the benefit of being rooted in the original Bitcoin from 2009. This is still Satoshi's Bitcoin. And that might not matter to everybody, but I think that does matter to us because it does give us a bit of a claim to the Bitcoin name, unlike, say, like Litecoin, which is an entirely different chain, right? So weaknesses. Obviously, our price is not great. Our hash rate is not great. And especially the BTC-BCH ratio is like close to an all-time low right now. So again, if you look at those metrics, not really doing too great. If you look at the community, we're doing amazing. I would encourage everyone looking at those metrics to not get discouraged and to stay focused, because if we look at the peripheral, which is things like BCH podcast growth, increased Twitter engagement, more community members coming up and doing media things like the Fiendish and Friends podcast, Cheapy's Bitcoin Cash Foundation, all these kind of things, just continuing to add more visibility. Like I said, the transaction volume is just bad. there is still the lingering stigma and confusion. We've gone through three different chain splits, first from Bitcoin BTC, then with Fake Toshi and French Trader. There is relatively low capital inflow. there's just not a lot of money going around in the community, unfortunately. We can't really depend on our whales for everything. We do have to become a little more self-sufficient, build these use cases that are actually monetizable, find more ways to get people into the ecosystem so that money is starting to come in and we're not just passing a single dollar around, you know? All right, so then opportunities. Tons of opportunities in BCH, in my opinion. Any entrepreneur watching the stream right now should take a serious look at BCH and think about what products you can build, because we are ripe with opportunity. There's huge investment upside because the price is so low. If non-functional BTC can hit over 100K, why can't a blockchain that is the exact same technology but 100 times better and actually focused on being money, why can't we hit that same level? In my opinion, there's no reason. New entrepreneurs can look at all of our really fantastic development tooling, all the existing products that do exist, and see the opportunity there to build something that's actually useful. Our chip process is one of the reasons that we are aligned and engaged as a community. We have the ability to go through really stringent technical research with some very brilliant people on a public forum and in public discussion. And that allows us the advantage of being able to iterate quickly, but also carefully. We do not want to move fast and break things. But like I said earlier, there is a bit of a race against the clock too. If we look at last year's adjustable block size upgrade, that was something that we decided as a community was important to get sooner rather than later, before we get too big, because that is basically how the first chain split happened, right? It's a social issue, and we wanted to solve that right away. Uncertainty in the overall fiat atmosphere, it's getting a little more uncertain, right? So we're not really sure about what's going on with inflation and currency debasement. If we look at countries like, say, Argentina or Venezuela, obviously their fiat currencies are not doing too hot. Even the US dollar, the inflation in the US is insane. My cost of living has about quadrupled since 2020. It's insane. So there's definitely a lot of uncertainty on what the future of fiat money is going to look like. Also, peer-to-peer payments such as Cash App, Zelle, even European bank transfers, I understand, are like pretty seamless. People are relying on these things more. Even in my own city, vendors everywhere are using Cash App. In my opinion, everywhere that there's a Cash App QR code, it should be a Celine QR code, or at least should be alongside it. So I see an opportunity there. PKI stands for public key infrastructure. This is basically the underlying crypto technology. Your address is derived based on a cryptographic key. And having that infrastructure in place, this is a problem that's existed like since basically like the 90s with PGP. You can do things like encrypted email and whatnot with PGP, right? So we have that same infrastructure just built into your wallet. And this is kind of where I see like the whole decentralized identity and whatnot. We can use that existing infrastructure to make these things really seamless. Social stigma is fading. I think we're standing the test of time. That's the Lindy effect. The longer that we exist is the more legitimate we appear. We have our own kind of community proof of work where we really are doing the work to make ourselves more visible. And just the community effort is really starting to show. Again, everybody in this room is doing their part. And then finally, we've talked about the upgrades a couple times. It allows us to do research and development on the script level, so we don't have to tinker around with the protocol so much to do all these fun things like on-chain encryption and quantum resistance. All right, so finally, threats. For me, the threats are mostly regulatory, and I suppose one point that I didn't mention on this slide is the mining subsidy issue that plagues all Bitcoin chains. If we don't get adoption, or I guess I'll borrow a Satoshi quote from, I believe, 2009, 2010, in about 20 years, there will either be massive transaction volume or no transaction volume. And we can kind of see we're on the side of no transaction volume, not just on BCH, but we can see this dwindling. Get this adoption up. Miners are going to capitulate. They won't be making money. We won't have the SHA-256 hash that is required to hold the security of our ecosystem intact. And the chain dies, for the most part. I mean, yeah, we can CPU mine and stuff, but let's see. And then finally, we do have the capital inflow problem that I had just mentioned as well, and just overall misperception of the crypto industry. Like I was saying, my mom still thinks of FTX instead of peer-to-peer electronic cash. That's just a sad fact. So what can we do in terms of strategy? We can address weaknesses, leverage strengths. I think maintaining our alignment, engagement, and integrity are things that we should be focused on as a community. I think that we all have our heads in the right places. I think that we're all very honest people. We're not really trying to scam anyone here. We're just trying to do what we think is right. I think that pragmatism beats idealism. So we don't want perfect to be the enemy of good. We don't want to iterate for so long on things that they have to be absolute perfection, because then we're just going to spin our wheels and get nowhere, and then we're going to run out of time and money. We don't want to take the bait when it comes to social engagement. There are a lot of trolls out there. They're going to try to say, well, Bcash is trash. They're going to tell you that you should just quit. They're going to tell you that there's no way you're going to overthrow fiat. They're going to tell you that XYZ privacy coin is better. XYZ DeFi coin is better. I don't believe any of it because we have strong fundamentals. And if you just do the research and you look at those fundamentals, you can see it for yourself. Do the due diligence and you find out. BCH is a very delightful chain to use when our technology is user-friendly and working well. We want to make it as accessible as possible. So the more that we can do that, the better. We need to make it easier to survive on BCH. Like I said, I need to be able to pay my rent and bills and everything. We want to encourage user retention by creating more ways to spend and earn. So I think a lot of people want to be able to earn in BCH. I think that's a way to close the loop in a way that we haven't necessarily focused on. I think a lot of our effort has been focused on merchant adoption and the like. And I don't think that that's really taken off in the way that we had hoped. Especially without dedicated community support, such as what Paytaka is doing in the Philippines. I think focusing on a small critical mass of network effect, again, such as everybody in this room, I think that's the way to go. You want to focus on your local community. You want to focus on the people around you, the businesses that you're already supporting. Last year, some of you might recall Fiendish's talk. He's talking about what can we do, just 1% more effort. What can we do... that coffee shop that you go to every single day, can you actually convince them to accept BCH? You go there every day anyway, so don't go up to a business that you know you only go every once in a while. They're not going to be interested. They're not going to get that support that they need to stay in it for the long haul. Again, longevity is key here. We need to be friendly and encouraging. Like I said, I mean, I was just talking to Roscoe out in the hallway about how friendly our community is, how we're just gentle and mild-mannered. We're not yelling at each other. Like, people are very approachable. Like, there's nobody in this room that I wouldn't be comfortable having a conversation with. Like, we're a great community, and I think that we keep exuding that positivity. We want to be the best party. People will start coming to us. And then finally, ignore the trolls. Ignore the naysayers. We did the due diligence. We know what we're talking about. One of the reasons, again, that I started Celine was because I wanted to make sure that I did know what I was talking about. So I went and did the technical deep dive. I've learned as much as I possibly can in the past couple of years that I've been in BCH. And the more that I've learned is the more my conviction has grown. And I think that other people who do similar research would feel the same. Finally, money is a social phenomenon. So as I was saying, we really want to be focused on your locality, your friends and family, businesses that you actually go to on a routine basis. We want to contribute to the culture of BCH. We want to keep fostering that positivity. We want to just build as much culture as we can. Like, really, like that's art, that's memes, that's writing, that's speeches, that's shit posts on Twitter. You know, it's all part of it, and everybody can kind of do their part there. Meetups, I think, are really key also. There was a meetup that I was going to in my city. It was a BTC meetup, but despite it being BTC, I found a lot of value there for a while because they were also a dedicated and passionate community. They were trying to build somewhat of a circular economy amongst themselves, despite the fact that it was on Lightning. So I have to commend them for that. However, I recently did have to leave that group because of the toxic maximalism. It's just really unfortunate. So don't be toxic, guys. Finally, using BCH for like petty exchanges, like, oh, hey, I want to make a bet on something, or I want to pay for your beer, or, you know, anything like that. If you're out and about in the real world, see if one of your friends might be amenable to that, because they actually might be. You know, you never know if you don't ask. Closed mouths don't get fed. So my closing thoughts here. I strongly believe that BCH is in a uniquely prime position throughout the entire crypto industry. I think that being able to leverage all of our strengths with all the upgrades that we've been doing, with the community mentality, I think it's only a matter of time if we keep building that we're going to start pumping those numbers up. I think that being very conscientious toward users is really paramount because, again, the user experience needs to be seamless and friendly and accessible. And we really want to be thinking with the end user in mind, which includes not just everyday people, but also businesses, also things, you know, in like e-commerce and the like. We just got to make it as good and compelling as we can. Products, marketing, services, localized activities. This is what we need to get more adoption. Focus on the critical mass. Again, your locality. We've got like, I don't know, looks like 40, 50 people in here. You can do a lot with 40, 50 people, especially if they're all in the same place. And finally, haters are going to hate, guys. Don't let the trolls get under your skin. Just deal with it the best that you can. Finally, it's Shill O'Clock. Shout out to Shill Valenzuela. Please try Celine Wallet. We've put a lot of effort into it. We keep trying to get better all the time. I hope that you're enjoying the wallet as much as I am enjoying developing it. If you are, please consider sending some money to our FundMe campaign. It would be much appreciated. We want to be able to position both myself and Jeremy for continued full-time work in BCH. And then I want to just give a shout out to my mom because I love her. I want to give out a shout out to Zandy, who is my girlfriend, who's here with us. And everyone in my private Bcash War Room channel. You all know who you are. Some of you are here today. I really appreciate just the community that we've built, all of the assistance that you've really helped with me being a member of this community, and I'm glad that we can all give back to each other. So shout outs to all of you. Thank you. And then if anyone has any questions or anything, do you have time?
Yes, do we have any questions? All right, in the front row here.
Hey man, that was a great presentation, thank you.
Thank you.
You made a point there. That people in BCH should be looking more as entrepreneurs to make money rather than relying on whales for funding. And I couldn't agree with this more because I believe very fundamentally this allows for better resource allocation because your customers prove that your product is valuable and exactly how valuable. Whereas with funding, it's a bit harder to allocate that correctly and to know where's the information if we're doing the right thing. With that in mind, what has Celine Wallet got in mind and how to generate profits and revenue for itself?
That's a great question. Yeah, so I don't plan on living on fundraisers forever. I don't think that that's viable. Some of the things that we have in mind, I touched on the whole decentralized social media idea. That's something that Jeremy and I are really keen on right now. We have an idea that we've been thinking about where we think we can directly tap into that idea in a way that can not only monetize our users, but ourselves as well. I would prefer to talk about that privately right now if you want more details. I'm not ready to say that on stream, the exact details of that, but I have talked with a few people here at the conference about what our plans are. People have poked holes in the idea, and I do feel like we have a cohesive implementation for how to actually accomplish that. I've been thinking about that idea for about like the past 5 years or so, and I think we have something that might actually work. On top of that, I run the BCH.ninja infrastructure. I do see ways that we can leverage that infrastructure for monetization. We can do things like, you know, file hosting. In the long term, we're hosting full nodes, so there will be like archival blockchain data that you might want to pay to download. That's like way long term, though. We are considering a token ecosystem. Not just a bog standard NFT drop, but we do want to build like an entire viable ecosystem around it. So it's not just a random coin. So we're thinking about that. And then there are a couple of other products that I want to look into. Like for instance, the ticket idea was actually something that's a product that I also want to be focused on that I think could be a viable revenue generator as well. So those are just a handful of ideas that we have to build products that can actually make money.
Khaleesi, great talk. More of a, if you don't mind, I actually want to answer a question than ask one. You asked, you know, why is BTC, which is sort of so crippled and has such a high market cap, why are we not, with all our functionality, able to match that? And I I personally think the answer is that, you know, we're not a shelling point, and VTC was a shelling point or a focal point, especially with retail adoption back in the day. You know, it was the one alternative to using a credit card. And so we don't have that shelling point. And we also, the window of opportunity is closed because contactless is there now. And with retail, you really got to achieve some sort of critical mass, which is also hard because everyone's spread out. The merchants are spread out and the users are spread out. So I do think personally, having run meetups and tried to get adoption going in London, I think in retail, if I can be controversial, is dead in the water. Mm-hmm. And actually online is where it's at.
Yeah.
And so if you look at, you know, all of the, you gave three great examples of VCH Bull, Cauldron, and A Fifth of Gaming, you know, those are all online venues. The whole world can come to that one venue. To cite another one that's not in VCH, but in Ethereum, Polymarket. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, polymarket.com or .io. It's one website, and anyone from anywhere in the world can come there and participate in that market in one place. So my thing would be, like, let's focus on the online opportunity, retail, you know, maybe is something we can loop back to in the future.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Honestly, I think we should be focused on the whole magic internet money aspect. I mean, the internet is everybody in the world, right? Whereas trying to get localized merchant adoption is just in that one localized area. So just the total addressable market is way, way, way bigger. So I do fully agree with that idea. We should be thinking about online products and services. To your point about Polymarket, that is the direction that the BCH Guru project is going. They're building prediction markets on BCH. So that's something to keep an eye on as well.
Hello, my name's Osman. This is my first time at BCH Bliss. I'm very new to crypto. I came along with my brother. So my background is as a refugee law lawyer, and I was listening to your presentation and just generally thinking about the relevancy of crypto. And to me, the most obvious market is refugee camps. So you have around 10 million people living inside refugee camps. Each camp has around 50 to 100,000 people, and they suffer enormously from the difficulties of using fiat currency. So if you're inside a refugee camp and your family wants to send money to you, they're going to have to go through two or three middle people and get physical cash into the gates to bring money, right? So that's a big problem that they have to overcome, which BCH solves, right? Secondly, it's a closed economy. So mostly, so people are transacting with each other inside the refugee camp all the time. The baker, the butcher, the hairdresser, the people at the vendors. So they are always transacting with each other. And they also have the problem of storing cash, which is a security risk for them. So a lot of them have to actually physically carry items of gold, items that can be stolen. So again, crypto solves that problem. And, you know, the ethic of liberty or death for many of these people, it is either liberty or death for them. And so that, to me, you know, if you're looking for an audience that has an obvious need that crypto solves in a very clear way, it's the people in refugee camps. And I wonder whether that should be more focused upon in terms of where crypto is being marketed to. And I think if that can succeed, you've got your grassroots bottom-up demand for this product. And I just want to share with you that I downloaded your Celine app. I'm totally new to this, and I found it very easy to use. And I so I had, you know, and I shared it with a colleague of mine in Palestine, in the West Bank, which is under occupation. And he's found it, and I just sent him some crypto, and he's really excited by that. So to me, we should be looking at the people who have a basic social political necessity for this product. So
yeah.
I mean, if you, I'm so glad to be here to talk more about that.
Yeah.
And maybe we can have this further conversation about how we can get Celine into refugee camps.
Definitely, because it comes to me the question of how do we reach those people. How can we make it useful for those people? Like I was saying earlier in my presentation, part of the issue is that I can't actually use my BCH directly for a lot of those things. So you are saying that there's a closed economy there. How do we get enough BCH to these people that they can seed that circular economy. It's not enough to just send, a few hundred bucks to one person there. That's not going to create a circular economy. So I think the biggest question is, how do we reach those people? How do we make it economically viable for them to not only receive crypto, but stay in crypto? I also have an example to share with you that is right in alignment with what you're saying. I have an online friend that I met a few years ago. she lives in Syria. Obviously, we know that Syria is not doing too hot politically. She needs a way to get cash that people donate to her through, say, like Cash App, into actual Syrian physical paper money. One way that she's been doing that is by going to a peer-to-peer exchange in Syria that accepts USDT over Tron. I do know that USDT over Tron is used in many different countries for things like remittances. And unfortunately, they're kind of eating our lunch with that. So how do we get, dethrone USDT in that way and get people to accept BCH? In this case, with my friend in Syria, I was able to get her to convince her trader to accept BCH. So she would send me the Cash App dollars, and I would send the equivalent amount of BCH. We started with USDT, but we found out, first off, I'm not going to risk myself politically doing that by going on a centralized exchange, buying USDT that can very easily get blacklisted, very easily associated to my KYC identity on Coinbase, and then send that to Syria. I'm going to get arrested doing that in the U.S. The U.S. does not like Syria. However, if we use BCH with Cash Fusion, and I already have a stack of BCH, and I can go on a decentralized exchange and exchange the USDT, well, that's better. However, there's still all of the fees involved with that. The exchange fee and Fusion is cheap, so that doesn't really matter. But it's mostly like the decentralized exchange fee and then the send fee to get USDT, on top of the fact that you also need Tron to send that as well. So there's the swap fee into USDT, the swap fee into Tron, and then the send fee on top of that. And at that point, we've eaten up like $15 of that money. And that's critical money for people in these politically ravaged countries. So how do we convince them to use BCH fast and effectively, no fee, right? I was able to convince her to do that. And so I do think that you're onto something there. It's just really the question is, how do we actually get there and make it useful and accessible to those people?
You afterwards about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yes. Any final questions?
Oh, one more.
Not so much a question, but just something that didn't come to my mind yesterday when we were brainstorming, coming up with ideas that we'd really like to see, just because I'd forgotten about how useful Bitwage was back in the day. Because something we don't have that BTC has is a massive DCA army. So as soon as it goes down, they're buying more, and that kind of forms a floor. And we're small in numbers, but the Bitwage thing was something that it needs. It's a big someone thing because it needs people who are prepared to take on to integrate with the financial institutions. But for me, it's automatic DCAing if you can just make sure that your wage comes in the first place, or at least a proportion of it comes in Bitcoin and in BCH. So I just wanted to throw it in the pool. I thought this, with the inspiration of the thing, I hope you didn't mind that I just threw that in now.
Yeah, I do think that's a good idea. And also something that I totally neglected to think about when Fiendish asked how we plan on monetizing. Even last year when we ran a Flipstarter, something we were thinking about was business-to-business tools. There's a whole sector there that is necessary if you want crypto adoption. You need to be able to do your accounting and your payroll and all of those things on BCH as well. So if we can build similar native tools like we did with Celine Wallet for the consumer, I think that there's a lot of potential there as well.
All right, and I'm going to throw in one more question, which is, you've been very influential in the online discussion in changing the perspective of BCH from many people inside and outside, most notably in the BTC community, and we recently went to Op Next and got a chance to meet some of these guys in person, just kind of like we're doing here. So from that experience, what was your takeaway of the changing attitudes towards BCH, and how can we help maybe bridge that divide? Because those guys are both our, you know, best friend and worst enemy, right? They're actually aligned on a lot of things, but they also have a lot of hate in their heart sometimes. So what's the trend there, and what can we do to accelerate healing that gap?
Yeah, I think it's been a long road of trying to change perception, just countering bad information with better information. This is something that I think we've been really focused on since about 2022 or so, is when it really started ramping up, like the Twitter war. OpNext in particular, I think that was impactful because we were able to go and shake hands with, you know, people in real life, just like this conference. It was very developer focused, and we were able to make an impact by sharing our opinions and talking to some key people. We were very well received. I think trying to make more inroads with them, just by countering bad information with good information, not counter trolling. I think being hostile toward them is just, you don't win by being mean to people. You just don't. If you disagree, you can just disagree and leave it at that. They'll come around eventually, because the truth doesn't rust. I think it's just important to really realize that we're all human. We tend to be set in our ways. We tend to not necessarily absorb new information right away. And I think as long as we're consistent and as long as we're friendly, we can continue building those inroads. And I think in particular on social media, it's just really important to pick your battles.
Okay, all right. Put your hands together for Calisti.
Great job.
All right, I'm just going to double down on the Schiller clock and say we are running the Celine fundraiser at fundme.cash, developed by Sayoshi. You can even try it in the open house section. And so if you're giving away some sats, you may as well give it to us. we've put a lot of work into the project over the last 2.5 years. It literally is just him and I, with some help here and there from a few other people. And I think the results of getting to second here at Bliss is kind of the proof in the pudding. That's the proof of work. So hopefully we can continue that. And yeah, we just need about 40% more funding, and we'll be good for one more year. And by the end of that 1 year, you will see some other non-fundraising monetary streams, like Fiendish was asking about. We haven't nailed that all down just yet, but it is coming. It's very close now that we have, you know, the basic wallet and cash tokens and everything working. All right, that's my pitch for myself.